Tonight, I want to bring a message entitled, Your Pastor and You. On Sunday morning, July the 24th, Pastor Starr preached on compassion and prayer. And he began that message with a story about a mama cat and four kittens crossing Times Square in New York during rush hour. And then the policeman that came out and stopped traffic in Times Square so that this mama cat and her kittens could cross Times Square. I'm sure a lot of you remember that. It was just a couple weeks ago. Well, I thought I'd start off tonight by telling you a story about a dog and a state trooper. And this dog's name was Rippy. And he was our farm dog when Kenton was a teenager. So it was quite a while ago. And never mind. When he was a young teenager, he was early teens. And Rippy had two great passions. One was to hunt. And, of course, Kenton being in his early teens, he hunted quite a bit. And I don't care where that dog was on the farm, if Kenton came out our cellar door and worked the action on that Remington shotgun, that dog came running and jumping. And if you ever saw a dog smile in your life, that dog had a smile on his face when he showed up. His other great passion was a truck. He loved to ride in the truck. And when I say he had a passion for the truck, if I took my truck to the garage to get it worked on, Rippy stayed with the truck. At that time, I was farming a couple different farms, and I had a farm over at Crossroads about 8 miles away, and if I had the truck over there, like I was planting corn or something like that, Rippy stayed with the truck, and if I left the truck there for 2 or 3 days, Rippy would stay till the third day, then the third day he would come home. So if someone borrowed my truck, Rippy went along with the truck. He wasn't fussy. He did know if I came out on Sunday night with my suit on that he was not going along in the truck. He didn't even try. It's sort of funny. He knew he wasn't going along to church. This took place on a hot summer day, and Kim was with me. She was probably about 12 years old, and Rippy was riding in the back of the truck, and we had the cattle trailer behind with about 5 cows in it. We were taken to a sale over in Lancaster. And it was a pretty hot day, and we hit the light at 896 and 30. We were going to Vintage Sales Stable on down the road, on down 30 there. And we were sitting at that stoplight, and I felt the truck shake a little bit, and I thought it was just the cows moving around the trailer. And just as the light turned green, it hit me. That stupid dog jumped off the truck and got underneath for shade. Now, he was smart about trucks. When it started moving, he didn't stay underneath. But it was traffic everywhere, going like this, and I'm going down the road. I had to move. I couldn't sit there. And I got about a quarter of a mile down the road, and here he comes running down the center lane of 30. It's 3 lanes there, and traffic going like this, and Rippy coming down the center lane there. And Rippy was just a mutt. He was of questionable origin, as we say. His parentage was questionable. And about that time, I saw a state trooper stop right at my back bumper and put his light on. And I thought, oh, you know, when I was farming, I drove some trailers. I really didn't want the state police to look at, you know. And the license plate was kind of questionable. And I thought, he's pulling me over. So I hit the berm, and he sits there in the road with his red light going around. And all of a sudden, I realize he's stopping traffic for that stupid dog. He stopped traffic. That dog come down there and jumped in the back of that truck, and the cop went on down the road and waved to us, and so do we, man. I told you that so I could relax a little bit and get you, you know, because I'm a little nervous. In Pastor's message that I mentioned before, he had 5 points on prayer that he alliterated. The priority of prayer, the practice of prayer, the pattern of prayer, the persistence of prayer, and the profit of prayer. Well, tonight I'd like to add three more P's to that. The power of praying for your pastor. And I know that's not an alliteration for you folks that like alliterations. It won't be an alliteration, but three P's tonight. The biblical office of pastor is often misunderstood and even despised by many in our world today. Today, we will take a look at the relationship God wants us to have with a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching pastor. Your pastor takes his ministry calling very seriously. His responsibilities are great and are designed by God to benefit your spiritual growth. Your pastor needs your prayer support and encouragement to become the pastor God wants him to be. I try to be, my goal is to be the person in this church that prays for the pastor the most. I'm chairman of the deacon board. I take that seriously. I'm probably not, but that's my goal, to pray for the pastor the most. Years ago, before Mount Zion, I approached a pastor, my pastor at the time, and I didn't feel like his messages were feeding me. And I'm going to talk about how to bring a grievance to the pastor in a little bit here, the right way. But I don't think I knew the right way back then. And I can be pretty blunt also. And I told this guy I wasn't getting fed. And he looked me in the eye and he says, have you been praying for me? And you know, kind of took me back. Gee, do I have a part in this? You know, should I be praying for him? And, you know, I started praying for him, and his messages got better. Now, I doubt if he was really preaching any better, but I had a vested interest in the messages. I paid closer attention, I think, and started getting fed by his messages. Pastors are leaving the ministry and walking away from ministry in record numbers. Some fail morally or doctrinally. Would they have failed if someone was praying for them? Others because of discouragement. Others because of antagonistic church members. May this never be said of me. We need good men to continue to teach and preach and love and give their lives for the growth of God's people. Now, you should be in Hebrews 13 if you still have your Bibles open. We're going to take a look at the verses that Todd read for us. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Verse 18, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you that rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. The church is God's creation. It is not man-created. And Satan will attack it. Just as God created marriage, God created the church. And just as Satan attacks marriage, he will attack the church. God created Adam and Eve and set them in the garden, and immediately Satan attacked that relationship by tempting Eve. Be assured that as Satan attacks the family relationship, he will attack the relationship between you and the church and your pastor. The church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not man's creation. Christ began to establish the church when he called out the 12 disciples. He gave the Holy Spirit to the church at Pentecost and instructed the disciples to spread the word, and the local churches were established. He set the church up to be the pillar and ground of truth. And I want you to stay in Hebrews. I'm going to read a verse here in 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Just as Satan fights the family unit, he is fighting against good churches. He is fighting against God's people and God's preachers, and is happiest when they are fighting among themselves. When we get distracted from our main cause here, of spreading the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, leading souls to Christ, that's when Satan is the happiest. Satan is happiest when we are sidetracked from telling others how to be saved. I've been in church all my life. I've been in this church for 39 years. If you think I've never disagreed with a pastor, you have another thing coming. Sometimes I have handled it properly. Other times I have not. I don't have a tablet where I just go like that and it. I got the hard copy here. I should go into a story about how I had to go, what I had to go through to print this. I had a computer trouble. Never mind. Several years ago, Dr. Starr was preaching about church members and their relationship with their pastor, and he covered a section on disagreeing with the pastor. And he said in this message, if you had a disagreement with a pastor, ask me or Mark Waldemar how to approach the pastor. So I'm going to tell you, if I disagree with the pastor, four steps that I do if I disagree with a pastor on something. I study the scriptures to see if I'm wrong, see if the Lord will show me I'm wrong. I pray that God will show me if I'm wrong, and I respectfully approach the pastor. I do not approach others to get support. And remember, and I always remember that he is the authority. He has the final say. And recently, I had something that he did that I wasn't quite on board with, and I sent him an email, and I said, I want to start this email by saying that he has the authority to do this thing in the church without asking me, without asking the deacons or anyone else, but he did ask my opinion, and I gave it to him. So the local church is vital for Christian growth. Hebrews 10:25, I believe you're in Hebrews. If you slip over to 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God has called our pastor, and he is who God will use for your spiritual growth. Ephesians 4:11 and 12, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God designed the church as a place for his people to work together in love and trust as they grow. Satan would love to destroy that relationship. Pray for your pastor. Paul writes to believers in the big book of Hebrews. He is telling them to remember, when he says to remember, it's to pray for their pastors and follow them. In chapter 13, if you turn back to chapter 13 again, he tells them three times about their relationship with their pastor. In Hebrews 13:7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose pastors and follow them. No, I'm in seven. and follow it. Consider the end of their conversation. Pray for your pastor. Pastor is more than a preacher that deals with He deals with situations that members of his flock are facing. Because I'm close to the pastor, he shares with me some of the struggles and situations that he deals with. Family problems, finances, job struggles. Our pastor is very well-rounded. I have served under pastors that were not. Both Pastor Starr and Dr. Starr have a great ability to deal with individual problems as they come up, and they always handle them according to Scripture, both of them. And while, you know, I was here under Pastor Wise, I love Pastor Wise, and I've never heard a better man behind this pulpit than Pastor Wise. I learned tremendously from him, but he didn't handle situations as well as Pastor Starr and Dr. Starr handled them. Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that which is unprofitable for you. Paul here uses two words that we do not like to hear, obey and submit. Obey and submit. When you join a church, you are placing yourself under the authority of that church and ostensibly under the authority of the pastor of that church. Our pastor sets a good example for us in his own life and his family. He is easy to follow. You as an individual must decide to follow the word of God and give your pastor the respect and prayer support he is due according to Scripture. I have had people come to me with grievances against a pastor, a grievance they thought was huge. It had gone on for over a year, and my advice to them was, if they cannot place themselves under the authority of the pastor, then find a place with a pastor they can place themselves under the authority of. And that's a pretty strong statement. Maybe I'm out of line on that, but that's what I feel like. If you cannot place yourself under the authority of this pastor, then find one you can serve under. I guess I better get off of that before I really put my foot in my mouth. Hebrews 13:24, salute all them that have rule over you and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. In verse 7, he has said to remember them, to pray for them. In verse 17, he says to obey and submit to them. In verse 24, he says to salute them. Well, I should have done something with the pages. This simply means, to salute him simply means to greet him. Shake his hand. Everyone can do this. And if you can't do this, if you can't look the pastor in the eye and shake his hand, it's the first sign that you're backslidden. Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and tell all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the flock, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Your pastor is appointed of God to be the overseer of this congregation. When we look for a new pastor, we try very hard to find God's will for our church here. When we called Dr. Starr to be our pastor, we were without a pastor for about a year and a half. We were patiently waiting on God to send us his man. We had about 20 candidates. We considered them one at a time in order that we received them. Dr. Storr was—he was a higher number. I'm going to say somewhere in 9, 10, or 11, in there. The other ones, every one of them before him, did not work out. As we didn't think they were God's man for Mount Zion. But first, the deacons interviewed him, and we thought he was God's man. But then we had him preach two times for the congregation, and let the congregation vote on whether he was God's man for Mount Zion. And I believe he was. The first responsibility of a pastor is to feed the flock. I think some preachers have forgotten this. His first responsibility is not to raise money for new buildings, or to mow the church lawn, or to plan social events, or even visit the sick, although that is important. His first responsibility is to feed the flock. I'm going to read some verses in 1 Timothy. Why don't you turn over there, 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read the first seven verses in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I believe it's while you're turning, Pastor usually takes a drink if he's gone. Thank you, Harry. 1 Timothy 3, 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he is desire a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, diligent, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to preach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, be patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. If your pastor does not meet these qualifications, look for another pastor. There is a second reason to have a good relationship with your pastor. It will make you more receptive to the word, as I mentioned earlier. A church member's relationship to his pastor will affect his or her reception of the truth. In other words, if you're on the outs with a pastor and he's standing up here preaching God's word, you're not going to receive it. You're just not going to. I don't know what more to say about that. It is a dangerous thing to have a heart that is not right towards spiritual authority. I know, I've been there. Years ago, I was disgruntled with a pastor. During that time, I did not grow spiritually at all. In fact, I became backslidden just because I had a little grudge or a little, I don't know how to describe it. I wasn't happy with the pastor. And you can blame all kinds of things on him, by the way, when you're backslidden. I believe this is the reason Satan works so hard to discredit pastors and interfere with the relationship between us and our pastor. When we reject spiritual authority, we reject the message of God's word. Satan does everything he can do to disrupt this relationship. God will always bless a church that allows spiritual leadership to lead. Pastors have scared me with their ideas. Starting a camp, planning churches. It's easier to sit in a pew when pastors start talking about that stuff. I'm going to mean work. But I've always tried to support them. Your pastor needs your prayers more than ever. Now, every position of leadership has responsibility that corresponds with that position. For about 10 years. I was the supervisor for all the milk in my company, south of the New York border, about 50 loads of trailer loads of milk a day. My nearest boss was 8 hours away. I had a lot of responsibility. When my group in Pennsylvania split from the parent group, the parent company, I knew I would be giving up some authority and responsibility. And it hurt some. It hurt less because as they took responsibility away from me, they didn't reduce my pay. So every time I had a little pity party for myself, I reminded myself that I was doing less work and getting the same pay. According to Scripture, the pastor who must watch for the souls of his congregation, not the deacons, not the interns, not the administrator, not the Sunday school teacher, but the pastor is going to give an account for your spiritual condition one day. Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his blood. A legal guardian for a child must provide and protect and keep that child away from harmful influences. In much the same way, a pastor is to provide the preaching of the Word of God and protect his flock from evil influences. If you have a pastor who watches out for your soul, be thankful if you don't find one that does. A loving pastor will be led to preach some strong messages. When he does, he is watching for souls and taking his job as a spiritual guardian seriously. Our pastor is a watchman. And we're going to look at some verses in Ezekiel. If you want to turn over there, Ezekiel chapter 3. These are some of my favorite verses in the Bible in Ezekiel chapter 3. And we're going to begin in verse 17. As we look at as our pastor as a watchman, watching out for our souls and our spiritual condition. Ezekiel 3:17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. God here gives Ezekiel a job description. We need pastors who will, like Ezekiel, who will stand up and speak the word of God unabashedly. A watchman hears the word of God and then gives warning to those over whom he watches. In the church age, the age we now live in, the pastor is the watchman. He must study, understand, and warn his people. If a preacher does not preach against sin or warn God's people of the danger or engage in spiritual battle for men's souls, like Ezekiel 19 and 20 describes, what will happen? You know, the church will go downhill. The duty of a watchman is to watch and to warn. We have a watchman ministry here, and their duty is to watch for trouble and warn others if they see trouble coming. That is pastor's job for this flock, as overseer of our flock. He is to watch for things that could lead us astray and warn us. And our pastor does a very good job of that. Ezekiel 3:19 and 20. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. If pastor preaches the word of God and I reject it, he has done his job. Being a spiritual guardian and a preacher of the word of God is a serious calling with great responsibility. The pastor must declare the word of God without compromise. He must warn God's people of sin and lead them into the paths of righteousness and be a guardian of their soul. If he does not do this, God will hold him accountable. Often pastors must lovingly confront someone for whom he has concern or a burden, and that person may resent him for it. Yet this is God's given responsibility. A pastor who will obey God must approach someone who's slipping away from God or blatantly violating God's word. This is a sacred expression of pastoral love. Many people distort this love and accuse a pastor of being on their case or intruding in their lives. But this is the intention of a loving pastor, to confront them in love. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 12:15, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." Did you get that? Paul is willing to spend his life, to give his life for these folks. "Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." Let that not be said of us. Let us love our pastor. Pray for him. Pastor often loves those who choose not to love him. He often helps those who do not want help. Be sensitive to the challenges your pastor faces and ask God to show you how to pray for him. In recent days, there's been a lot of movies and books and portrayal of pastors or evangelists as dictatorial, wicked, hurtful, or just plain stupid. Many times, they are labeled as legalistic. These movies and books are very critical of any pastor who names sin and distinguishes between right and wrong. Pray for your pastor. probably should skip over this paragraph. This is a personal note here. There's no one in this room that is more rebellious or resists authority more than me. But praise the Lord, years ago, before Pastor Starr, before Dr. Starr, I got the message that God wants me under the authority of a pastor. In his book, Antagonist in the Church, Kenneth Hogick says, "Antagonists choose not to live out the love of Christ. Strife is introduced in love's place, and with strife go jealousy and anger, visible expressions of uncontrolled love of unconditional love of Christ are among the first casualties of active antagonism. Visible expressions of unconditional love of Christ are the first casualties when we become antagonistic. Pastor will give an account. Hebrews 13:17. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. the pastor will give an account to Jesus Christ for the way he watched over the flock. This flock he'll give an account of. In a church structure, the pastor is accountable to God, not to me, not to deacons, and not to you. He is accountable to God. Some time ago, our board of directors where I work, you know, my boss is an out there kind of a guy. He thinks outside the box and acts on it. And he's brilliant. You know, I admire him tremendously. But some of the board of directors got the idea he should have somebody over him to hold him down a little bit. And they got the idea it should be me. This is the board of directors. And they approached me about it, and I told them they were nuts. You know, there was only two people qualified to watch over Kurt Williams as my boss. And they're both their names were Mrs. Williams. In case you didn't get that, his mother and his wife. But, you know, I turned them down. I said, no way. And the next year, I turned them down again. They had a little more support on the board of directors that time, and it was the biggest mess I was ever in at work. I told them no. I didn't want anything to do with it, but my boss perceived me as a threat. Authority. The pastor has the authority over the church. Hebrews 13:17 says that they may do it with joy, that he can give this an account, that he'll have to give with great joy and not with grief, as he reports on us. Choose to see his watch care as love and choose to thrive in God's grace under the spiritual and under his spiritual and biblical oversight. Proverbs 15:32, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. And Proverbs 15:13, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Pray for your pastor. Paul says in Hebrews 13:18, pray for us, for we trust we have good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Choose to be the kind of Christian who honors and supports and encourages and prays for your pastor. And that is my message for tonight. If you do not know the Lord as your Savior, I am not worried about your relationship with your pastor. If you do not know the Lord as your Savior, I'm worried about your relationship with your Savior. So in a minute, we're going to have an invitation. And if you would, if you'd like to know the Lord as your Savior, you come front and we'll have someone deal with you who can help you to understand how to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.